Amen. Well, we are glad to be here. Amen. Brother George sends his regrets that he cannot be here. He has participated very much in planning, and he's been very involved in this trip, but his health issues, he cannot come this time. So we have a small team this time. And I'm very glad that Sister Rita can be with us. It's been a year and a half. Amen. Yeah, I want to look at some verses in 1 Corinthians today. And I want to talk about our calling. Brother Bert was talking quite a bit this morning about our calling. And we're going to look at it from a little bit different perspective, but the same meaning, I believe. Now, I don't know where to begin. I could read the whole book of 1 Corinthians to you today, but it would take too long. So we have to select some verses. So if we go to the first chapter, we look at verse 25. It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
1 Corinthians 1:25. Tungkol kaya ang pagkabinuang sa Diyos mas maalamon kaysa mga tao, o ang pagkabuyang sa Diyos mas husgan kaysa mga tao.
And Paul is saying in here, if you read the full of 1 Corinthians, he is saying that he is willing to be considered a fool for the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to be foolish for the kingdom of God. Foolishness, in the next verse it says here, for we see your calling, brethren, that how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty.
Kaya muna ang kita sa inyong pagkatinawa, mga eksoon. Giyosa nga dili dadhang malamon ng mga tao sumala sa unod, dili dadhang gamanan, dili dadhang malandol ang mga ipangtawa. Apan ang Diyos sipili sa binuang ng mga butang sa kalibutan, aron sa pagbibog sa mga malamon. O ang Diyos sipili sa huyang ng mga butang sa kalibutan, aron sa pagbibog sa mga butang na gamhanan.
And the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence.
Sa bili sa mga butang na anak, apan wala'y unod ng mga maghimaya kayo diha sa iyang presensya.
Now, you have an opportunity to be foolish, shall I say, insofar as speaking the truth of the gospel of the kingdom. I had an aunt. She was named Aunt Esther. And I didn't know her very well. She lived in another state. I don't know, probably at least 500 miles away from my where we lived. And the only time we saw her was when somebody in the family died. Is that the way it is in some of your extended families? You don't see your cousins until somebody dies. So, I remember that I was young. I think I was still, I was about 30 years old, I guess. I think that was young. In those days, I was very foolish in the ways of the world. Even though I believed I was born again. So it was another of my aunts that died. And the body of this other person, I don't know, was at a funeral home. And it was the day that people gathered together in the funeral home. And so somehow she came from a distant state. There were two rooms in this funeral home. There was this front room, and then there was a back room. Now, this aunt was the one that I would call the evangelist of my mother's family. She was always passing out little tracts and this type of thing. So I was near the door, and she came walking in the door, and she recognized me. And she came to me and she said, "Mark, have you made your calling and election sure?" I said, "Yes, Aunt Esther, I believe I have." She said, "Well, what about your brothers?" I said, "Aunt Esther, they're in the back room. Go in and ask them." She went right back into the back room. Now, I believe that my brothers, one of them has died, the other is getting old, and his health is not good.
Okay.
But I believe that it was the testimony of people like her who stirred you and challenged you.
Alam niya po siya ang kinabuhi sa iyan, usa siya kabuhing pagpamatuod na matang sa tao na buhagit nimo sa maong tawag.
And at the time, I was thinking to myself, well, Aunt Esther, is this the time to make such loud announcements? Is this proper etiquette? Is this not being foolish? You see, I was in a different place than today. But I believe it was about 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember that it was somebody else younger in my family, another brother, maybe an in-law or somebody, that died. And the minister talked whatever he was going to say, nice things about them. And I thought to myself, it's time to be foolish. He said, does anybody else have anything to say? And I stood up and I thought, I have to be Aunt Esther. She's dead many years now. And I remember that I said, you know, more people are probably saved at a funeral than at a wedding. It is time. This was in the church. This wasn't in the funeral home. It is time for each one of you to examine your heart. Have you made your calling and election sure? Now, just so you know that I'm reading that from the Word of God, I'll read it in 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. No, that's fall. Yeah, it means almost the same thing.
1 Peter 1, versículo
1. Just that one verse.
Tungod niini hinuon mga isuon, ihatag ang kabuki ang paghimo sa inyong pagtawag o pagkapinili na siguro. Haygol na mong muhimo ni mabuna na kamo dili iyong mabukan.
Yes. Now, Peter is, I could read many more verses, you've probably heard them before. Peter is saying to the church by the Holy Spirit, something that apparently my aunt also must have understood. That just because you raised your hand in an evangelistic meeting when you were 9 years old,
sa
because you might have been baptized in a church service does not mean that your calling and election is final. There is something else that has to be finished. And I believe Brother Bert spent practically the whole morning in the outline to show you that what the churches have been preaching is not the fullness of the calling and election. Now, I want to share another thing. This is Saturday, is it not? It was a week ago today. I was invited to go to what we call the North Country. It's 100 miles from my home, up in the north part of New York State. It's the place that I was born and I grew up. And I was told that I would meet some cousins that I have not seen for 50 years. And I particularly wanted to see this certain cousin who happens to be the same age as I am. And he's been a missionary to a little place in West Africa that most of us have never ever heard of. A little tiny place called Guinea-Bissau. Yeah. And he has given his life in a way that I have not. He went out among these people and he lived among them for years. My mission work has been more going from this place to that place. But I have to think of the sacrifice that this man has made. Now, I know it was a denomination church that supported him in doing this. So I have been for many years wondering, what does he know? What does he understand about the message of the kingdom gospel? And when we got up from the table where everybody was eating, I went over and we had a very brief little talk together. And he said, Mark, I have been all over West Africa among the churches. And he said, the churches are missing something. Now, he has never heard this message that we preach, as far as I know. And I said to him, is missing? What do you find missing in the churches? He said the problem is they're just preaching to get people saved, get them born again, and that's all. And he used the term, he said, the churches that have come from this, the people are so weak. And I said, brother, yes, I agree with you. Let's get together sometime and talk. I don't know if it'll happen. I wonder if we could just look at this word, the calling. Because we're going to talk, Paul said, he said, "For ye see your calling, brethren." Not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That's verse 26. Of 1 Corinthians 1:26.
Kaya mula kita sa inyong pagkatinawa, mga eksor, giyon sa nagdilidadhang maalamon ng mga tao sumala sa unod, dilidadhang gamanan, dilidadhang landon ang mga ipagtawa.
Now, the word, we're looking at a word here. It's called in the Greek, this is the word called out. If you're looking it up in the concordance, it's 1577. That's the strong concordance number for that word. Okay. Now, this is actually made up of two different words. This word, ek, means out. And this word means called. Now, I suppose if you were speaking Greek, you would say, you've been outcalled. But in English, we would say, you are called out. Now that means if you are called out, you have to be called out of something. So let's start off. You can help me here. First of all, what were you called out from? Did I hear darkness?
Yes.
Which means you've been called out of the world. You've been called out of sin. Amen. But you see, there's another calling. If you got called out of the world and you ended up in a denomination, you might have to hear the calling from Revelation chapter 18. Come out of her, my people. So you see, God is in a continuing separation business. You notice the calling of Abraham. You go back into the book of Genesis. The calling of Abraham, it was written in Hebrew, it wasn't written in Greek. But he was called out of what? Let's write some of the things he was called out of. What was he called out of? Country? Kindred? And father's house. Now, can you identify with this calling? If you heard brother's testimony this morning, he said, I am not going to identify myself as an American. I think I heard him say something about being born into the house of, and then he gave a last name. House of. You can fill in the last name here on your own. So, in reality, let's just stop right here for a minute. Can you renounce your particular, what are we going to call it here? Filipinoism. And then you're going to break it down into this tribe and that tribe. To the point where you are never going to say, well, we Filipinos see it this way. We Americans like to do it this way. And when we get into Europe, we Germans are... Yeah, now Abraham had to leave that. He had to come out of all that. Well, we're never going to get into the rest of Corinthians at this rate. Okay, we're talking about being called out. Now, I'm going to give you another verse from Matthew chapter 20. Alright, I hate to move my page holder here. It's just one verse, and it seems to be standing somewhat alone here. Matthew 20, verse 16. And it seems to be put in here almost, I would say, well, what is it doing here? And it says here, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Matthew 20, verse 16. Mao nga ang naulahi mag-una, o ang nag-una maulahi, kay ganhan ang gituwag abang jotay ang gipili.
Okay, so now we have a different word here. We have a word now, E-K. I'm not good at at E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S. Now, I should give you the number for this word in the Strong's Concordance, and it is 2822. This whole word is this number. Okay. But this, as you can see, is also made of two words. This word is out. And this word is chosen. And when you take this word alone without the ek, you have another word, 1588. Now, what did Jesus say? Here, let me use a different color here. Many are... Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called. Okay, now these two words are not exactly the same meaning. Called means you've been given an invitation. This word chosen means you have been hand-picked. You have been selected. Now, who would be giving the invitation and who would be selecting? You see, there is really a difference. Many. Many. Now, this is the word that is often used of church. Church business. Well, we're all called. Well, we're all the same. And I think this is the mindset of another thing called ecumenicism. Ecumenical. Ecumenical means, we're all one church, we're all one people, Catholics, Protestant, Pentecostal, Evangelical. Can't we all just get along? Yes. All right, let me go a little further now. We're talking about your calling. All right. So, in other words, what Paul is talking about here in Corinthians is more than just a general calling of sinners out of the world. He's tailoring this letter to those who are called into ministry. All And the first thing, of course, he's saying is that insofar as your rational being is concerned, you're going to have to consider, you're going to do things that are going to look foolish sometimes to people. You're going to have to overcome your pride. Can any of you remember anything about your pride? I remember it was a real big problem for me in my 30s. See, I was a hospital administrator. I went to work, I had a suit, I had a white shirt, I had a necktie. I was the boss over a lot of people. By the way, I got kind of sick of bossing people. I got tired of it. I don't want to do it anymore. But I clearly remember, God began to introduce me to the life in the Spirit. And I got among people that were praising the Lord with, shall we say, reckless abandon.
Just
close their eyes, worship the Lord. And there was something about it I liked. But there was something I was afraid of. And I remember I got my eyes shut and I got my hands up a little bit. And I'm looking around. Are any of my employees going to see me acting like this? They're going to think their boss is a fool. You see, I had to get over that. If you want to know the truth, I think it's something that came from my church Mennonite, stoical German background. I had to overcome it. It kept me for years from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We don't need that kind of foolishness around here. We've got the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying they are all like that. But that was the spirit that I understood. Okay, let me move on. We got other things in... Oh my. We're never going to get through here. Chapter 2, the first four verses. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined, chapter 2, first four verses, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians
2:1-4.
Kung ako ay soon, sa diyan ako binakta ninyo, wala kayabot na uban ang pagkamayo sa pagkamulo mo sa kaalam, nga nagpahayag na natin ninyo sa pagkatuot sa Diyos. Kaya kung niyo kong nalili na ibalo sa gisa ng isang bukang diha na ninyo, gawas ni Jesus Kristo, o kaliyang maginansa sa Diyos. Kung ako madiha uban ka ninyo na nasa kahuyang, o ka na sa kahadlok, o ka na sa hinabihan ng
Now, I don't know how Paul really looked or how he spoke, except what he said here. There was another man named Apollos that apparently was a very good speaker. But from these verses, I would say that Paul would not have made a very good television evangelist. He would not behave well for the camera. His handlers would not be able to train him. Because I believe that if he had a word from the Lord, he would simply say what he had to say. How many times have you said, "Well, I know I'm called, but I'm not a good speaker. Not me. Oh, no." So in other words, it's not only the foolishness of the world, but it's not the enticing words of the world. By the way, we have a president in America. And if you listen to him talk when he was running for the office, he used very rough words. His words were crude. But you know what? There were many people that liked to hear that he had the freedom to say it. I don't know. I kind of think that your president got there the same way. I don't know. He probably said, "Let's shoot all these drug dealers." I don't know what he said. Whatever. It wasn't enticing words. Now, of course, our man is being trained. He has to read the page now, and he has to behave nice. Paul is talking about the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Come on, you're here because you believe you have a calling and a ministry. And you're going to have to allow the boldness of the Holy Spirit to move upon you. Without fear. Without fear. And if we go down to verse 13 in chapter 2, he said, "Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the soulish or natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who can hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now the message we have been bringing to you is not a carnal, natural, soulish message. So the word is saying that if you're going to understand what we're saying, you have to rise out of your carnal, natural, soulish man to a higher spiritual level. And if you can't understand, you're going to have to press in and ask for God's help. I could not understand it either the first time I heard it. But I knew it was right, and I knew that it was something that I wanted. And I determined that I was going to have the pearl of great price. Yes, I must have it. Whatever I must pay, I must have it. Amen. You know, as I'm thinking, it's been 2008, and here we are, 2017. That's 9 years. One more year will be 10 years. And when we came, the message, we gave an invitation, a calling. And as I'm remembering some of the many of the pastors that came to the Caraga Hotel,
there were
many. And if we had judged from what we were able to see, we would say, this is going to be a big thing. This word is really going to catch fire in this area, and many are going to hear this word and they're going to say, amen, yes. But of those who were with us originally, now it's the same thing in our home fellowships. We are preaching the word to few. But we keep preaching it because God says this is your calling. Now, let me read a couple more, and I see the time is moving right along. Let me just skip over a couple of them here. Let me go to chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Let no man account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Does your Bible say ministers or servants of Christ? Ministers? Do you understand that to mean servants? Or do you understand it to mean pastors? What would the average reader of this word take the meaning of that in Cebuano? Servants. Okay, so you understand the true meaning. A minister is a servant. Okay, now that we have that straight, we are the servants of whom? Christ. Servants of Christ. Okay, and as servants of Christ, it says that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay, before we get to mysteries, let's talk about a steward. What is a steward? In your understanding, tell me what a steward is. It's a word we don't use much in English, but it must have a good meaning in your language. Somebody trusted. Okay. So if you have money and you hire a steward, or if you have a business and you hire a steward to take care of your business, to take care of your money, your investment, you are putting trust in that person. In other words, you know he's not going to be a thief. Amen. He's going to represent you properly. He's going to represent the things you believe. Amen. And the next verse says, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Okay, so the two words then of a steward. He is trusted and he is faithful. Describe to me a faithful employee or servant. A faithful steward is a man who you've made an agreement with him that he's going to work certain hours, certain days, starting at a certain time. He's going to be there, he's going to be ready, he's going to be available. Over the years, I've hired people who are not faithful. I remember we went to a temporary, maybe it was a homeless place or something. There were good, healthy men that were able. We were working some furniture things, you know, needed unloading trucks and this type of thing. And putting, yeah. So we went to the, and we invited couple of the men. So okay, will you work for us for a week? They said yes, and so they worked all week. And at the end of the week, we paid and we said, "Look, we have more work next week. We'll come down and we'll get you next week." Oh, you're not translating, are you? So, came Monday morning, 8 o'clock, I went down to the place, I'm ready for the man, he's not here. Well, where did he go? I don't know. He got paid Friday. He's gone. Well, where did he go? I'll go pick him up. We don't know where he went. But he told me he'd be ready Monday morning. It doesn't matter. Now, why is the man poor and living in a homeless shelter? For one reason is he's not faithful and he can't be trusted. He's capable. He was a good worker for 1 week. Now God is saying, you can't be like that. You're going to have to do what the Lord asks you. It doesn't matter if you want to sleep longer. It doesn't matter how late you were up the night before. You're going to be ready for the Lord's business. The other thing, and I'll finish with this, is he said that we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, what are the mysteries of God? Did you ever think about it? What did you say? Many times. First of all, let me ask you, do we understand all the mysteries of God? Maybe not. But apparently God expects us to begin to press in so that we will understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, a mystery is a hidden thing. Why would Jesus hide things? Why would he do that on purpose? Have you noticed that? Apparently other people did too. And I'm going to finish here with Mark chapter 4. Amen. We can find the book of Mark.
Marcos.
Shouldn't be that hard to find. Here we are in Mark. Okay. Now, you can read some of these same parables in Matthew and Luke. And you can relax. I'm not going to read all these parables this afternoon. You would all go home before I was finished. But I want to just read what Jesus said at the end of the parables. When he finished speaking, the disciples, and apparently there were a few other people besides the 12, they came to him and they said, tell us, what did you really mean by that story you told? I mean, you weren't just telling us how to plant seeds and stuff like that, were you? I mean, we could get Edmar to tell us that. He's a good farmer here. Now listen to what he said. Verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables.
kalinga ngan ha kalinga kini dikahatag aron gitatlo sa misteryo sa kinahanglan sa Dios apan ngadto kanina nga sana sa gawas na kini nga mga butang dibuhat diha sa mga sambingan.
What he's saying, again, we could draw a picture of the tabernacle, or I can just use the words that we've got here. What he's saying is unto you. Unto you that have been picked and chosen. You will have the privilege of seeing these mysteries, but unto those that are without, no. Now, when he says those that are outside, he's not talking about the people of the world who are hostile. Hostile to the message. He was referring to many people in the crowd. See, these are people who came to church to hear the speaker. These were people who had an interest, some kind of an interest in kingdom things. But he said, there's a difference. If they had wanted to know, they would have come with you and said, come on, Master, I want more. But you see, they didn't. And when church was over, they just went out, got on their little motorcycles or taxis, and they went home. They had church. And they were satisfied with that. But you see, those who came with the 12, I read this in the Amplified Bible, and I have the feeling that this word without has a special meaning. Those that are without, all these things are parables. And the Amplified Bible said, those that are outside of your circle. So you see, that isn't very ecumenical, is it? Now just bear with me two more verses, okay? Verse 12. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them.
Nga sa nagatan-aw sila unta makakita kung dili matikod, o sa nagapaminaw sila unta makadungo kung dili makasabot. Bisan unya sa bisan unsa nga panahon sila mausab kung ang ilang mga sala mapasaylo gayon kanila.
everyone is given the calling. But there's something in the heart of some of those that hear that causes them to hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't see. I don't know what the difference is, except it must be something within a man. How could God have looked at a pair of twins that were in the womb of the same woman, amen, Rebecca, and he knew right then one of them is not going to follow me. He has his own way. The other one is stubborn, but I can get a hold of him. But God gave Esau the same opportunity. In fact, he had the advantage. He could have had it all. What was one of the problems? Flesh. When my body says I need it now. That was the difference that we know of. Last verse. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? If you have the understanding, you will be able to understand them all. He's saying, come. Let me teach you. I'm going to tell you about this parable. I'm going to enlighten you. I'm going to give you spiritual understanding now. Because you asked me, I'm going to open up your mind. Now you will be able to understand when I give these parables. If you know this one, you'll know the others. Well, praise God. I think that's fine. Amen.